I want to say good morning to each one of you. Pray God's word is going to bless you today as we get into the word of God. Deuteronomy, we're going to begin looking here in the 19th chapter. Say something about what I believe God would have us preach today concerning the safe place. Deuteronomy 19 is the Kingsman Quartet. They're singing that blessed song. Look for me at Jesus' feet. You're going to find me there. If something happens, I'll be at the feet of Jesus. I pray you can say that today. I pray that's where your heart is, that's where your spiritual state is. Now, it doesn't happen just because we want it to. It happens because of what Jesus does. It doesn't happen because of what we do or how we're able to preserve ourselves or keep ourselves. It happens because of the finished work of the cross of Calvary. And if you've never been washed in that blood, then you don't know what we're speaking of today. If you've never been born again, you know, people say, well, I went down to the church and I repeated some things. That's not going to do it. Some catechisms, I know those. And liturgies, I rehearsed those. Those things will not do it. It will take the marvelous grace of God and the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ before you can say, for by grace are you saved. And so salvation is of the Lord. What happens when God calls a sinner is a sinner has to find a place of safety. There's no safety in sin. There's no safety in the things of this world. There's no safety in the recreational means of men's minds of how they feel better. There's no safety there down at the place where they say this is a 12-step pattern. No safety in rehab alone. Thank God for good rehab places. We need them. But that's not the safe place we're talking about today. We're talking about when a man, woman, boy, or girl repents and falls at the feet of the Lord Jesus and says what the man in Luke 18 said. Remember what happened? Two men went up to the temple to pray. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and one was a publican. And we read it here where the Pharisee said, Lord, I'm glad I'm not as other men are. I fast twice in the week, pay tithes of all that I have. I do this, do that, pretty good fellow, feel good. And I'm real glad, I'm paraphrasing, but he said something to the extent of, God, I'm real glad I'm not like this fellow over here, this publican. Now the publican, we know there's something about him we must take time to realize. The publican had to sell out everybody he loved. The publican had to forsake all of his family and friends. He had to forsake those in his community. Because if he was going to be a hired avenger for the Roman government, he had to be willing to do the uncomfortable. And when he exacted the tax, that meant one of two things. Not only did he tally the tax, did he receive the tax, was he held accountable for the tax, but whatever it took to get the tax is what he had to be willing to do. He literally was a paid assassin. He really was one that was an equalizer of the mob. And so to be a publican, you had to be willing to forsake all others. We hear that somewhere else too, don't we? And the publican had to do that. And we see it that Matthew was in that case. And Jesus come to his place. He come to his place there and had a meal with him. We talked about this a little bit before, how that he came and he fellowshiped with the Lord Jesus. And while he did that, the word said he sat at the receipt of custom. That means he was a tax collector. That's where he was. That was his place. And so right here we find it in Deuteronomy 19. That many times people in this life, you know where they find themselves? They find themselves where they never thought they would ever be. And so here, watch it. When the Lord thy God hath cut off the nations, whose land the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou succeedest them and dwellest in their cities and in their houses, thou shalt separate three cities for thee in the midst of thy land, which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Now these first two verses set the stage for what we're going to get into here. But back to the publican for a minute. Remember what the Pharisee said? He was the self-righteous fellow. He trusted in himself that he was righteous. And so he said, God, I'm glad I don't do this, but I do this and I don't do that. Much like mankind does today. You know what we do? We reason in our hearts. And we say, I've heard this for many years of pastoring. Preacher, I don't wrong anybody. I pay my bills. I raise raise my young'uns. I'm true to the community. I'm true to my family, all these things. And so what they're saying is, I don't really see the need for a Savior. I don't see the need for a safe place. I don't see the need for a Redeemer. I don't see the need for sweet mercy. That's what they're saying. They just maybe don't even understand they're saying that. And so oftentimes, this is what you receive. And so people, what do? They analyze, much like the two men went to the temple to pray. And so the Pharisee is analyzing himself. And so the problem with that is that we won't always be honest with ourselves. And the reason we won't be, normally, is because the heart's deceitful. Jeremiah 17, 9, and 10 said the heart is, didn't say it might be, said it is deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And he said, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins to reward every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Now, God said that. And so he said, I search the heart. And he said, the man that owns the heart, the woman that owns the heart cannot know it. Why come? Because it's desperately wicked. And who can know it? If you're wondering the condition of your heart today, I can save you some time and trouble. It's desperately wicked. And I'm going to show you this right by the very simple things of the Word of God. The very simple things of life. We don't even have to take Scripture to get this. We see this in the heart of the purest child. That child in its purest state will always revert back to its sinful nature. And so what happens? When it feels pressure to lie, it'll lie. When it feels pressure to steal, it'll steal. When it feels pressure to hide, it'll hide. All of these things will it do. It'll hoard, and it'll be selfish all the time. There may be 10 toys laying in the room, and that child, by nature, it's not because it's your, don't say, preacher, you don't like my grandbaby. I don't know your grandbaby, but I know what the sin nature of every man, woman, boy, or girl is. And so what happens? It's that desire to have everything. And so it's that selfish, sinful nature. Could be 10 toys and 2 kids, but sometimes that one kid wants them all. And so we see this in everyday life. It begins in the womb. I'm going to show you this from the Word of God. And we find it right there in Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, David is the author. And he said something about this in the second verse. He said, wash me thoroughly, truly is the word, from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. And in the 5th verse, he said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. Watch now. I was shapen in iniquity. He wasn't taking a shot at his mama. He wasn't taking a shot at his dad. He was saying who he was and who we are. We're born into sin. And so he said, behold, look. That word means look. He said, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. And so he didn't say his mama was a bad woman. He didn't say she was a woman of ill repute. He said, I was born a sinner. And so as he goes on in the 10th verse, this is the man after God's own heart, who said, create in me a clean heart, O God. Now David, the sweet psalmist of Israel, whom God gave many, many things to write, much wisdom, God gave him victory after victory. God gave him all of his favor. God bragged upon him as the perfect man. How many times did he speak of the kings that followed him? And he would say things like this, that they were perfect, but not as their father David. Or they did that was right in the sight of the Lord, but not as their father David. You know what that means? That means, as God said so many times, David was perfect in all his ways. That word is not sinless perfection. That word is a commitment to the Lord Jesus. He was perfect for God. He was complete in God. You said David sinned, preacher. David had some stumbling blocks along the way. Don't we all? David was God's man. David was the man of the hour. God said he's not perfect in all his ways as his father David. I don't know how clearer you can get it than that. But what makes that is not what men do. It's not our pattern. It's not our humility. It's not anything. It's not being good to your family and paying your bills. That's not what salvation is. And for David, it was not anything he done. It wasn't because he defeated Goliath. It was because he had a relationship with the Savior before he ever knew who the giant was. He had a relationship with the Father before he ever knew about the lion and the bear. And so we see it. Before things transpire in our life, we must have the relationship with God, and the sooner the better. Why come? Because when we find it, we watch now. Here's the publican. The publican, back to him, Luke 18, cannot look up to heaven. But what did he do? He smote his breast. God, give us that. Give us some humility that we could smite our old wicked breast. And he wouldn't look up to heaven. Didn't feel worthy. God, give us a good dose of that too. That'll help us. And so pride, I'm going to tell you, pride is the problem today. You know, people today do not realize what pride does to their heart. And I'm no exception to that. I don't fully comprehend what pride does. And I need a constant reminder. You know, sometimes you think, preacher, you're just preaching to us. No, I promise you that every message I preach to you, I need too. I hope you realize that. I pray to God you get that. That even the preacher needs preaching. All need the Word of God. And so here we see it, this publican. I can relate to him real well. I remember the night I come to Christ. I wasn't worthy to look up to heaven. I had nothing to brag about. I could smite my breast, spiritually speaking. I was crying out what he cried out. And it's something of the same tune of, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. What salvation is Christ in you. Christ comes in not when we pray. Christ comes in when we receive him. And so we receive Christ. I know people today that they received Christ before they ever got to the altar. They received Christ before they ever left the place where they were. And so to receive him, oh, to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so we find it right there, St. John 1:11. God gives us power to believe. He gives us power to receive him. And that's what happened to the publican's life. It wasn't because he'd fixed his problems before he got there. You think you need to fix your problems before you get there. You can't fix them. That's why you need to get there. And so watch now, back to the cities of refuge. God set the stage. He said, when you go into the land I'm going to give you, you're going to cut off the nations. Now, those that dwelt there, God said, I'm going to give you their land. I'm going to give you their spoil. I'm going to give you their cities. I'm going to give you their servants. And sometimes people don't like this. And you know what's going on in America today? Can we take just a minute to say something about this? People today think America's the big bad country because of taking and coming over to this land. And oh, maybe we run the Aztecs off, whoever they were. Maybe we run off the Mayans. Maybe we run off the Spaniards. Maybe we run off the Indians. And they say, we're the big bad country. I'm going to tell you, God is in control of this universe. And when he sent Israel in, he sent them in. And he sent them in with one quest: kill everything that breathes. And so if those men, God was very specific, if those men take the servants, if those men fight, kill them. That was as plain as you can read it right out of the pages of God's Word. And so what we need a good dose of humility, but we need a good dose of manhood too in the nation. And so we need to understand who God is. I'm going to tell you, if you go back and read these things, it'll help you understand who God is and who man is. You'll understand that God rules in the affairs of men, and those that framed the Constitution had it right. God rules in the affairs of men. God governs in the lives of men. And it's as quickly as God set us up, God can remove us. That's what he did for Israel. And we're not going to get over on the side note of that, but that is a powerful message in itself. God gave them the land, but God plainly said, if you don't honor me with the land I'm going to give you, I'm going to send you out of the land. You know what happened? You said, preacher, God's just prejudiced. He's just prejudiced to these Israelites. Israel is God's wife. You need to understand this. But we're talking about the same God that put his wife away. He put her away as a repudiated harlot. He put her away, and we see this no plainer in the picture of the life of Hosea, whom God told to take a wife of harlotry, and he did. And God told him to put her away, and he did. And when she repented, God said, receive her again. That was a picture, a marvelous picture of how God chose. He took Israel and gave him the land of promise. And when they defiled and rebelled and worshiped other gods, he sent them out of the land as he prophesied he would do. Now he prophesied that some 800 plus years before he ever done that. You don't think God's true to his word? He is extremely true to his word, and that's why we must pay attention to his word. And so here, God said, when you go into the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, God gives us. You know why we're in the freest, greatest country in the world today? Because God gave it to us. And you know why if we have any success in our life, it's because God gave it to us. We didn't figure it out. You said, preacher, I inherited it from my parents. Well, God gave it to them and they gave it to you. But God, every good gift and every perfect gift, James says, from above. And it cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James 1 17, 18. I love that passage, don't you? Where he said something about this, of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. If you're saved today, it's because God birthed you into the kingdom of God, and he did that by the word of truth. And so of his own will begot he us with the word of truth. What a blessing. And God said, when you succeed them and dwell in their cities and in their tents, he said, listen, you're going to take the place over. I'm giving it to you. I'm going to drive them out. I'm going to drive them out with a hornet little by little. I'm going to drive them out. I'm not going to let the beast overtake you, the wild animals of the field. He said, I'm going to do it little by little. And when you come into this land that I'm going to give you, and when thou succeedest them and dwell in their cities and in their houses, then you're going to separate three cities in the midst of the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. Now watch this. Thou shalt prepare thee a way and divide the coast and look down into three parts that every slayer may flee thither. And this is the case of the slayer which shall flee thither, that he may live. I like this verse 4, Deuteronomy 19:4. That he may live. God said, whosoever killeth his neighbor ignorantly, whom he hated not in time past, as when a man goeth into the wood, and his neighbor to hoe wood, and his hand fetcheth the stroke with the axe to cut down the tree, and the head slippeth from the helve, and lighteth upon his neighbor, that he die, he shall flee unto one of those cities and live. Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer while his heart is hot and overtake him, because the way is long and he slay him, whereas he was not worthy of death, inasmuch as he hated him not in time past. Wherefore I command thee, saying, separate these three cities. Now God's making it very clear here what the reason for the safe place is. And you know, I had something happen in my family very similar to this back in the 80s. I had an uncle, a very dear man to me, that went into the woods. A very similar case, by the way. I'll take time to share it. He went into the woods cutting firewood. And so it was two men in the woods with a saw. And one's got their back to the other. One lost control of the tree, and it struck my uncle and almost killed him. It was very near to, this is what God's saying, it was very near to taking his life. But his life was spared, and he lived many years after that. But here, God is making the case, what if the axe head come off? And it hits the guy in the head. We see this in Elisha's ministry where this did happen. And so we find that this safe place was because maybe that family member of the dead person come up and said, look, you killed my uncle, you killed my friend, and I'm going to kill you. God said, you let him get to the safe place, and the enemy cannot get him. And so watch it now. He said he'll go there and live. I like that, don't you? Wherefore I command thee, do this. If the Lord thy God enlarge thy coast into another place, then you're going to add three more cities. You see how God cared about this? He said, what he's saying is, when I give you the 2.5 tribes the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the Manasseh, half tribe of Manasseh, is going to possess. He said, I want you to have three cities on that side of the River Jordan too. And they did that. And the word said that innocent blood be not shed in the land, and for which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. And so see it now. Here, set the stage. God, give us this message. We find it right here. That city of refuge, there's three of them. It's the safe place, and the safe place in the sinner's life. You said, preacher, I've never done anything wrong. I've never intentionally hurt anybody. I believe that. I believe there's some that's listening today that has. And I believe there's some listening today that hasn't. I understand. It's mass media. It's out to whosoever will. It's out into the highways and the hedges. This is the job of this broadcast, is to carry the Word of God into the workplace, into the homes, the hospitals, the nursing homes, the facilities, the automobiles, the trucks. You know, I remember a call from a truck driver from Arkansas several years ago. You know what was happening? He's passing through, and the Word of God is ministering to him. I remember working a storm up on Sand Mountain. I worked with a utility company. I remember working a storm up on Sand Mountain a few years ago when the tornadoes came through our state. And I remember a preacher, and I'd love to find him again. You know why? Because after many long, long days, I remember the Word of God blessing me by radio. I remember hearing that message, trying to write down anything, that a way of contact, to let him know what a blessing that was. And I misplaced that. But just here a few days ago, I was coming back through that region, talking about and reflecting on some of those things of that trip with my family. And you know what God reminded me of? He reminded me of that word that I heard. Oh, there's nothing like the Word of God. There's nothing like it. I tell you what it is. It's what Proverbs said it is. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And so here, the truck driver from Arkansas, people coming through, I hear from them. I hear from them that don't get fed where they go. It saddens me when people say, preacher, I get fed on the radio. And when I turn the radio off and go in to the church, I don't get fed. That's sad, but so. It ought not to be so, but it is so. And so what we need is a place of refuge. Some of you today, you're disheartened, you're discouraged, you've been hurt, you've been harmed, you've been alienated. And you don't know where to turn. You think, I've never hurt anybody. I wouldn't dare hurt anybody. But I don't know where to go. I tell you, there's a safe place, friend. There's a place of refuge for the weary. There's a place that God has set up for you. And it's the city of refuge. You know, people see, I see this in the penitentiary system as we preach and share with those. I promise you, there are those that need to be there and never get out. But there are those that have no business being there. You know what happened? They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. And this happened so much, so much. And so what are the percentages? I don't know. I don't have to know. But I know there are those that need a Savior. And some of those that never need to leave there still need a Savior. We all need a Savior, don't we? We can establish that fact today. We must have a Savior. We must have a safe place. We must have somewhere we can go. We've got to have the Word of God. It is a matter of life or death. It's a matter of heaven or hell. It's a matter of where we spend eternity. And not only that, but it's a matter of our children. It's a matter of our children's children. It's a matter of our posterity. What will happen if we miss the plan of God? What would have happened here if this man had no safe place to find? He didn't mean harm. He didn't want to be where he was. You know, I think about things of murder. You know, people said, preacher, I've never murdered anybody. No, but you've had murder in your heart. You've had murder in your heart. So have I. I remember a very specific time where murder ruled my heart. And I think back of that, how God spared and how God pardoned and God forgave me. I'm going to tell you, it's one of the things that God used to bring me. You said, preacher, you don't know where my heart is right now today. No, but I know where the plan of God for you is, and I know what the Spirit of God's saying, what the Holy Ghost says, and there's a city of refuge for you, friend. You know, rehab, we were talking about that earlier. It's such, there's so many great places that are places, safe places. Places for a battered mom to go. A place for her to take her children out of the way of danger. And here's a man that God gave an example of. He didn't mean for bad things to happen, but he's being pursued. I want to tell you, there's a slayer in your life. You may not realize it today, but there's a slew-footed slayer that wants to destroy you. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not," John 10:10. He said, "The thief cometh not before to steal, to kill, and to destroy." He wants to destroy you. That slayer wanted to overtake him. Why? Because his heart was hot. I like how God says this. If you don't take joy out of the Word of God, you just need to go back and get your heart refreshed of how the Lord says things. God said his blood pressure got up, his heart's hot, and he wants to overtake him, and he wants to kill him. Why? Because he's lost a family member, he's lost a loved one, and the Word said, "Lest the avenger of the blood pursue the slayer." See, here we find it. That avenger is none other but Satan. He wants to destroy you. He is in hot pursuit of you, whether you believe this or not. As he accused Job, he's accusing you. He's telling God, "You're not fit to be saved. You're not fit to be one of his." God's telling you that, look at how you've blundered. Look at how you've messed up. That Satan's telling and accusing you today before God. And there's going to be a time, thank God, when the accuser of the brethren's cast down. He's not going to stand and assail God's people anymore. But in the meantime, we need to realize we have to have a safe place. And that safe place is none other but in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus shared something here, and I'm going to go over and look at it, because I know our time's getting short. But I want you to see it in the Gospel of Matthew. I think it's Matthew 23. If I can get over there quickly, I'm going to give it to you, paraphrase if I don't. But see it now. Jesus stood and he looked over the city of Jerusalem. And as he looked over the city, now Christ is about to go to the cross. He's ready to go to the cross. He is prepared to drink that cup that the Lord has given him. He understands what his time is. He realizes his time is short. And here as he stood and overlooked it, the Word said this, Matthew 23:37. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He said, "Thou that killest the prophets." Now watch this. You said, "Preacher, would God receive me? Would he really receive me?" Because some of the things I'd done wasn't very innocent. Some of the things I'd done were premeditated. And I think if we'd all get honest today, we could say that. You said, "Well, I've never hurt anybody." What about with your tongue? What about the things you said? What about not being able to keep that little member? Oh, James said, "What great fire a little member kindleth." It kindleth a great fire, and we see it. The tongue, we could take a whole day and preach on the tongue, James 3. But we're not doing that now. What about the things we do that hurt people we don't even realize? What about the presumptuous sins? But then what about God had an offering for the sin of ignorance? You know what that is? That's sins we commit that we don't even see. Now this is what's wrong with self-righteousness. If you're self-righteous, here's the main problem. Not only is it sins that's in your blind spot, but it's the sins that you're totally ignorant of that you cannot see. And so we must realize every man, I don't care his name, the color of his skin, how much hair he has or don't has, what he weighs and what he wears, none of that matters. Every man, woman, boy, girl is sinner from top to bottom in need of a Savior through and through. And so here, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, Jesus said, "You're the ones that kill the prophets. Thou that kills the prophets." Jesus is saying, "I have sent preacher after preacher, prophet after prophet through here. And what do? You killed him." And what was the latest recent example of that? John the Baptist, whom God raised. God raised John for one purpose. He raised him to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus, to be the voice crying in the wilderness, to take the word of God to the people. And what do? They beheaded him, put his head upon a charger, brought it on a platter, at one of their wicked parties. And this is why Jesus can say, you kill the prophets and you stone them that are sent unto thee. But he said, how oft? Now you want to see a great contrast? He said, I know all about you, Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets, I know you. You know what God's saying to you today? He's saying, I know you. I know right where you are. He's already declared the state of our heart. It's wicked, desperately wicked, and who can know it? God said, I know it. And he said, I know about Jerusalem. But he said, Jerusalem, I want you to understand. I can see Jesus standing on some hillside saying these words to a city that will not receive God's gospel. God is saying it to some of you today, and he's saying it clear, and he's saying it by this broadcast. How oft would he gather you? How oft would he save you? How God would love to redeem you today, birth you into the kingdom, buy you back from a life of sin. That's what redemption is. It's where God buys us out from the hands of the avenger. God redeems us. And here's how he compared it. I said something about this just a short while back in church one Sunday. How this speaks to me. You know why? Because this is barnyard preaching. And I can understand it. I can relate to country folk talk, can't you? I can relate to country life. And Jesus compared this. How often would I have gathered thee together, my children, thy children together, even as a hen, watch now, gathereth her chickens. You said, preacher, that's mighty simple. I'm telling you, he's putting it down on the low limbs where the baby can get it. Jesus is putting it right there where people like me can understand it. Jesus is saying, just as that hen in the yard. Oh, I remember lots of times going out to the hen house and going out there, little boy playing around with them chickens, stepping into bad stuff. I'll never forget the day Grandma picked one up. This was back in the 70s. I'll never forget that first time I saw it. I probably wasn't even in school when I watched her grab one up and give him about three whirls around and throw him down and get the feathers off of him, take him in the house and fry him. I remember those pullets. I remember those times, barnyard preaching. Jesus said, I'm going to tell you something you need to stop and see. Just like that hen would gather her babies, that hen never forsakes her babies. Oh, I tell you, she'll take on the fox for her baby. Jesus is the safe place. And he said, as that hen gathereth her brood under her wings, so would I love to gather you. You know what Christ wants today? He wants to be the safe place for your life. I don't feel safe in myself. I don't feel safe in my sin. But I feel mighty safe in the Savior. If that murderer could get there, if that slayer could just get there, bless God, if he can get there, he can stay there, and he can be safe there, and he can feel free from harm there. That's what salvation is. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's that city of refuge. It's being pursued by the avenger, and God redeems us from that. No longer can the thief touch me. No longer can the devil have me. No longer can sin have dominion over me. You said, preacher, you're saying you never sin. I didn't say that. I said sin can't have dominion. Why? Because there's a new sheriff in town. When Christ moves in the heart, sin cannot have dominion, is what Paul's talking about. And so we see it here. Jesus said, that hen, she'll take on the fox, she'll take on the weasel, she'll take on the hawk. She wants those babies under her wings. And I remember watching this one day working as we was pulling wire across the field. And I saw this, and I didn't understand it to start with. But I watched as a quail came running across that field, and she was act like she was winged and injured and harmed. And she would run over there toward me, and she would run away a little bit. And I wondered about that. And finally, so maybe somebody shared this with me. That hen, that quail hen, was drawing me away from her babies. She was leading me away from the nest. And what instinct God put in something simple as a bird to protect. But Jesus said, I'm bigger than that. He said, as that hen would, thank God so would I. And you know what, friend? He still will today. He wants to save you. He longs to save you. He died to save you. He's here to save you. There is a safe place, and God wants you to be in that safe place, in the Lord Jesus, saved by the marvelous grace of God. Father, take your word today. Speak it to every heart. God, draw that one, Lord, that's in an awful state. I pray, God, rescue the perishing. The old song says, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, and Jesus will save. Father, would you do it? God, would you rescue that mom, that dad, that young person, God, that teenager, God, that young married couple, would you rescue them, Father? Would you call them unto yourself? God, that aged one, Lord, that feels they made a life that's nothing but a wreck. It's a train wreck. God, they're sorry for the way they've conducted themselves. I pray you would speak grace to their hearts by the power of the Lord Jesus and save them. Do it now. In Christ's name we pray. Turn to Christ while there's still time. Hear the voice of God. Reach out to Him. Come to Him. Come to the place of safety. And the Word said, and we can live. In Jesus' name, till we meet again, may the Word of God bless you, is our prayer.